Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen. It is the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers who are assembled together. In John chapter 15, Jesus had promised, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Now that day has come. And I find it interesting that in the scripture we have recorded for us two likes and one definite. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Scripture does not say there was any wind, just that the sound was like a mighty rushing wind. I'm reminded of people who've experienced tornadoes when they say, "It sounded like a freight train." Now, there was no freight train, but the sound was like that of a freight train. And also there were divided tongues of fire. Again, as of fire, like fire. It looked like fire, and yet it wasn't burning anything up. And then after that comes the declaration of Scripture. And there is no like here. Instead, it is a declaration. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the manifestation of the Spirit? The assembled apostles who were sitting there began to speak in other languages. They were not babbling nonsense. They were not rambling or anything like that. They were speaking languages they had not spoken before. It is the Tower of Babel in reverse. And what was it they were speaking of to the citizens and visitors of Jerusalem? As the hearers remark, we hear them telling the mighty works of God in our own language. And it is very plausible that these mighty works of God are the things they're speaking of Christ. And they were speaking of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus and the redemption that he won for us on the cross. The good news of the gospel. In other words, the free grace of God won by Jesus' death and resurrection, along with the Spirit bestowed faith in Jesus. That was likely the subject of their preaching. For the Holy Spirit, the quiet member of the Trinity, is content not to point to himself, but rather the Holy Spirit points to Jesus and what Jesus has done and what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross for our salvation. He is content to point to the work of Jesus on the cross for us. And the Holy Spirit works faith in the hearts of the hearers of the word. The Spirit of God works through means. And here in this instance, the Spirit is working through the means of the preaching of the apostles. The proclamation of the Word of God, working faith in the hearers' hearts and minds. The Spirit also works through the sacraments. Baptism regenerates us and makes us Christians. In your baptism, the Holy Spirit worked faith in you. In your baptism, the Holy Spirit made you his dwelling place. And he gave you faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as you grew, As you grew, you continued to hear the Word of God. You heard it in family devotions. You heard the Word of God here in the worship service. You heard the Word of God in your Sunday school classes and personal devotions. And the faith that was planted in you at baptism continued to grow. And then you attended your catechism classes and all the places where the Word of God dwells distinctly and richly. And then later, in the confession of your confirmation, you professed faith in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. And in that confession of faith, you received the sacrament of the altar, the true body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for life everlasting. Then the Holy Spirit worked in faith through communion. He works to strengthen your faith in the very gifts that the sacrament of the altar gives. That is, trust in Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, and life everlasting. These are the gifts given in the sacrament of the altar. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit creates faith in you to trust in. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we confess, that we believe, that we cannot believe. And that is just what we confess in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. He keeps it in the one true faith with Jesus Christ. Yes, we as human beings, born with original sin, we are conceived blind, dead, and enemies of God. And as a rebel against God, not only can I not reach out and grab hold of faith, not only can I not reach out to God in faith, I can't believe in Him. In fact, I have no free will. My will was bound to darkness. My will was bound to sin. Your will was bound to sin. Your will was bound to darkness. In fact, all I could be was antagonistic to God. I believe that I cannot believe. As fallen people, we are unable to find God on our own, let alone to choose to entrust our lives to Him. As the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Then if I can't choose God, how am I saved? God did the choosing. God chose you in Christ Jesus. God chose me in Christ Jesus. It's just like we say in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, my eyes, my ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. without any merit in me. Like, it's not because I'm so awesome or so great or so wonderful that God does these things. It's what He does. Everything you have, every skill and every talent that you have, everything you own, it is a gift to you from God without any merit or worthiness in you. And the same goes for your salvation. It's God who chooses you. It's God who calls you. Through His Word, through His sacraments, without any merit or worthiness in us, God the Holy Spirit created in us, and in all Christians, the very faith that trusts the words and the promises of God in the Word. Therefore, it's all God's work. It's not ours. It's all God's work. And through the gospel, the Spirit both invites you and enables you to believe God's word as He promises new life on the basis of Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And again, it is written by the apostle, "To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." He called you. But how is this done? Luther writes in his large catechism, "Just as the Son obtains dominion whereby he wins us through His birth, death, and resurrection, so also the Holy Spirit affects our sanctification by the following parts, namely the communion of saints, or the Christian church, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." That is, first, what does He do? He leads us into His holy congregation, and He places you into the bosom of His church, whereby He preaches to you and brings to you Christ. For neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ, or believe in Him, or obtain Him for our Lord, unless it were offered to us and granted to us through the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel. The work is done. The work is accomplished. Christ has acquired and gained the treasure by His suffering, by His death, by His resurrection. But if the work remained concealed so that no one knew it, then it would be in vain and it would be lost. This treasure would be worthless. This treasure, therefore, might not lie buried in the earth, but be grabbed hold of and enjoyed. God has caused the Word to go forth out into the world. We hear them speaking in our own languages, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Cretans and Arabians, believers from Egypt and Rome, all in our own language. The word has gone out, proclaimed. And in this word, the Holy Spirit gives us the treasure. Therefore, sanctifying is nothing else than bringing us to Christ to receive this good and gracious gift, which we could not attain on our own or of ourselves. Learn then to understand this article, this third article, most clearly. If you are asked, "What do you mean by the words, 'I believe in the Holy Spirit'?" then you can answer, "I believe that God the Holy Spirit makes me holy." His name implies it. His name says it. But how does He accomplish this? Or what methods does He use and means to this end? The answer is this: by the Christian church, by the forgiveness of my sins, by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through the administration of the sacraments, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting belong to me. For in the first place, he has a unique congregation in the world, which is Mother, and begets and bears every Christian through the Word of God, which he reveals and preaches, and through which he illumines and enlightens and kindles the hearts that they might understand and accept and cling to it and persevere in it. This is the work of God's Holy Spirit. He gathers you up. He brings you the Word. He brings you the sacraments. He creates faith in the Word and the sacraments. He gives you the very faith you need to believe His Word. This is what He does. He does it silently. He does it without pointing to Himself. He does it all by pointing to Christ and what Christ has done for us. Therefore, let us thank the Son for sending the Spirit, and praise and thank the Spirit for bringing us to faith, to life everlasting. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.